Board. President Obama is hosting a ceremony for Senior Chief Edward Byers, the latest recipient of the Medal of Honor.
Like so many of our special operators, Ed is defined by a deep sense of humility. He doesn't seek the spotlight. In fact, he shuns it. He's the consummate quiet professional.
Byers played a key role in rescuing an American doctor who was held hostage by the Afghan Taliban in 2012. At one point, Byers used his body as a shield to protect the doctor while battling Taliban fighters. Another SEAL was killed in the operation. Byers is a member of the Navy's elite SEAL Team 6. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Angie Austin with Daybreak USA, and I have fabulous hair. I do. Now I do, at least, because I use Ovation Cell Therapy. The Ovation hair products are absolutely wonderful. You know, they did a customer survey, and over 90% of respondents said they would recommend Ovation hair to a friend. And I'm one of those over 90% people, because I have to tell you, my hair has never looked better. Now, in the winter, you wear a lot of hats, but as we head towards spring, you're going to want to let your locks out so they look luscious. My hair really has never looked better. And I bring it when I travel. I used to always use the shampoo that was in the hotel. No more, because I've never found a shampoo that works better. And I was thrilled when they asked me to actually endorse the product, because I believe in it. And it makes it so easy to say, go for it. Go to ovationhair.com, ovationhair.com, and you'll get a special introductory discount if you click on station ID and pick Angie Austin, Daybreak USA. ovationhair.com. Try it. You'll love it. ovationhair.com.
American pastor Saeed Abedini says he wants to spread the story about the 3.5 years he spent in an Iranian prison.
I have another plan, you know, to write it down. Everything happened for me as a book, and visiting churches and preach the good news.
Abedini was one of 5 men released in January as part of a prisoner exchange with the U.S. He operated a Christian ministry in the Islamic Republic before his arrest. Abedini told Fox News he was tortured while in prison. Now back in the States, Abedini says he hopes to continue his work as a pastor and try to work on repairing his strained marriage. Ben Carson says he's staying in the Republican presidential race. While he's way back in the polls heading into Super Tuesday, the retired neurosurgeon told Fox News he has millions of followers and they're pleading with him not to drop out. Carson says the political machine in Washington is extremely complicated and corrupt, and that's one of the reasons he's running. He says he's even been offered money and political support to end his campaign. This is USA Radio News.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a free domain with website from GoDaddy.com, starting at $1 a month. Annual purchase of website builder required. Price valid first year only. See website for details.
A massive snowslide in eastern Idaho takes the life of a little girl, USA's Tammy Rose reports.
Seconds is how long it took for snow to fall off the roof of 2-year-old Holly Merrill's grandparents' cabin. The toddler and 2 7-year-olds were buried in snow.
One of my closest friends was the first one there that started digging the kids out. And, you know, I mean, they were working for all it was worth to try to get through 7 feet of snow to get to the kids.
It took more than 30 minutes.
You know, they got the oldest two out first, and the youngest one was the last to come out.
All 3 children life-flighted to the hospital, but Holly did not make it through the night. I'm Tammy Rose.
Tom Brady will stay with the Patriots through 2019. The Boston Globe reports the 38-year-old quarterback is agreeing to a 2-year contract extension. That means Brady has signed with the team 2 years longer than second-round pick and backup quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. If you've ever wanted to own a town, there's one for sale south of Las Vegas for $8 million. Calnever is located near the borders of California, Nevada, and Arizona along U.S. 95 near Searchlight. What began as a dirt airstrip in decades ago now includes a casino, restaurant, post office, and RV park. Calnever has a population of 350, but private property is not included in the price. The town's airstrip was built under General George S. Patton, Jr. for training troops during World War II. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County. The weather today, we're going to have scattered showers mainly before noon, so they should be all over. Cloudy early, and then gradual clearing with a high near 60. West winds 13 to 17 miles an hour with gusts as high as 32 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 35. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tuesday will be mostly sunny with a high near 55. Light and variable wind becoming southeast 5 to 8 miles an hour in the morning. Tuesday night, showers. Mainly after 1 a.m. and will be mostly cloudy with a low around 38. Southeast winds 9 to 11 miles per hour, and the chance of precipitation is 70%. The amounts could vary between a tenth and a quarter of an inch. Wednesday, showers likely, mainly before 1 p.m. Be mostly cloudy with a high near 53, breezy with a southwest winds 13 to 22 miles an hour, and becoming northwest in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 70%. And the amounts could be a tenth and a quarter of an inch also. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 24. Good afternoon and welcome to the Hunterton Medical Center's hour, compliments of the Hunterton County Chamber Radio. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us today Lisa Marie Buckley. Hi, Lisa Marie.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
This is going to be a mouthful. Lisa Marie is with the Hunterton Cardiopulmonary Rehabilitation. Say that five times fast.
I know, right?
And what is your role at Hunterton Healthcare, put it that way?
Well, I am actually the director of cardiopulmonary rehab. And actually started.
I bet
out,
you could say it five times fast.
I can say it. So I have been there for 30 years. I've had plenty of practice saying it. And my role really at this point is to really develop and maintain programs that are geared towards helping individuals recover and move forward with heart disease and lung disease and things of that nature.
Okay. I got to ask. I asked just about everybody that I do, because I do the show prior to this and also this one, and everybody I have on, I always come, how'd you get into this? Some people say, oh, well, I wanted to do it since I was a kid, and some people say, I don't know, I just fell into it and I liked it, you know. So,
well, that's a great question. Honestly, a lot of people haven't asked me that, but when I was in graduate school, I was studying more the applied sciences of anatomy and physiology, and discovered that I really enjoyed understanding how the body works. Actually, it fascinates me. I think our body is amazing. And I really identified with learning healthier lifestyles and how to teach other individuals how to do that. And I think I was kind of born for the job. I don't know.
Well, it sounds like it. No, it's just, you know, that's just something that I've always found interesting. You know, how people get into their line of work,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just, you know, some people say, well, my parents did this, this, and this, and that helped me or whatever, you know. And, you know, I had someone on who said, well, I started out as being a nurse, and I didn't like it. So I went back to school and got a degree in law.
That would be an interesting change.
Yeah,
right?
That would be, you know, a drastic change, actually. But, you know, it just interests me, you know, with people, how they get into the various occupations they're in. Okay, now you can tell me what cardiopulmonary rehab is.
Okay. Well, cardiac rehab, work or pulmonary rehab, and thus the cardiopulmonary rehab term, is there are really medically supervised programs that are developed to help individuals who have had some sort of heart or lung problem or disease to recover and to resume a more active lifestyle, making healthier choices that prevent further complications.
Are you talking like cancer of the lungs or heart attack or?
So most commonly are like a heart attack, bypass surgery, valve repair, replacement, heart transplant, stenting, angioplasty mm-hmm. with or without stent, and individuals who have known stable or chronic angina that really is being presently medically managed at this point in time. And pulmonary diseases, most commonly you'll think of things like COPD, emphysema, chronic bronchitis, pulmonary fibrosis or interstitial lung disease. Pre- and post-lung transplant as well are all candidates for this kind of programming.
Okay. Does someone, when they have one of the illnesses you mentioned, do they automatically get placed in your program, or is it something they have to choose, or?
Well, that's a great question. In the perfect world, everybody would be automatically enrolled into a cardiac or a pulmonary rehab program. We do know that the evidence is strong in supporting that a person's mortality and morbidity, their prognosis in surviving the event is so much greater when they are entered into this kind of supervised or medically supervised program. But that is not the case, although at Hunterdon, we have a very strong and supportive cardiovascular or cardiologist, I should say, and they have a very strong belief in referring those individuals into the program. Thereafter, it's really up to the individual to make that choice. It's still a voluntary program.
Right. You know, it's ironic. I had... I want to say about 7 years ago now. Yeah, about seven. I had both my knees replaced at the same time. And it was fine. I had no problem with it. The doctor that did it was out of Cedar Knoll, so it was up in Morristown. And I did a lot of checking on various doctors, you know, and everybody that had this one doctor says, you know, that he was great and yada, yada. One woman says to me, "Great surgeon, did fine job." She says, "He has no bedside manner."
Oh,
and I said, "I'm not dating him. I could care less. I don't care if he talks to me as long as he's a good surgeon, you know." But what happens was he wasn't going to ask you about your family or anything, but he would answer any question. He'd make sure you understood it before he went on to something else. And, you know, but they, prior to having it done, we had a meeting up at the hospital, and they gave me a book with about 10 different exercises to do in it. And they said, do them at least twice a day. So I did them three times a day. And after, they gave me a thing that said, do these five twice a day. I did them at least twice a day, if sometimes three times a day. I had no problem. Other people were, "Oh, my God, it hurts so bad," and blah, blah. "Well, did you ever do the exercises prior?" "No."
Right.
Well, right. Come on, really? You know, is there any procedure prior to the procedure that people should do? Like if they're going for cardio or, you know, some kind of heart.
Right. Thing? Well, obviously, if you had a heart attack, the chances are you didn't know you were
going to
have it.
Exactly.
So I can eliminate
You're not planning for that.
And quite frankly, no, there really isn't a pre-preparation program, probably because the time period often is rather short, and the focus is to, you know, stabilize that individual and get them ready to and be prepared to get into surgery. So usually the entry point is right after they have had some sort of event or complication or, that we see them.
Okay. What sort of exercise routines do you give them?
Well,
like say what would you give them for lungs, okay, whatever they had done to their lungs.
So the rehab program itself really focuses on, shall we say, three main points. And one is exercise training to really improve a person's functional or ability to do more work under the disease itself, whether or not it's pulmonary or cardiac, but to really get them to get back to what they need to be doing and ideally more than what they were able to do with less symptoms. The second key component of the program is the education behind it. Really teach individuals as to, you know, what is the disease that's going on? How do they manage it? You know, what do they need to be looking for? Signs and symptoms. How do they take care of themselves through their diet, medication adherence, signs and symptoms to report to the doctor, mm-hmm, as well as counseling individuals through how to manage their stress so it's not a key indicator or a risk factor for developing further complications. And then thirdly, it's that supervision that is provided and the feedback it's given to the physician so they can really see how well is the patient recovering or progressing and how well the body is reacting. So how do we do it with the exercise? You know what I tell everybody? First of all, there's no magic bullet to this. The equipment that we have in our department is very specifically chosen to mimic what you might experience or be able to find out in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
You may come in the very first time and we will be doing an assessment, really get to know you and your understanding of what's happened to you. And we work through identifying goals. And it could be, you used a pulmonary patient as an example, it could be that they have certain activities that they want to do, but they can't do because they're so short of breath. Climbing stairs, going shopping, being able to take care of the house without being excessively short of breath. So we would focus those goals in terms of, well, we might introduce walking or the use of the treadmill. We are going to introduce strength training or lifting weights to strengthen muscles that we've identified that maybe are weaker or would help if they were stronger to allow them to do what they need to do. We use cycles and rowers and we call them upper body ergometers to build upper body endurance and strength. So, and we use it what we would call interval training. Short bits of exercise kind of challenge the body without overtaxing the body, and then week by week increasing that intensity or that duration to a point where you should be able to continue that on your own.
Do you find that a lot of people continue it on their own?
Well, that's a great question. Traditional cardiac rehab, and that's kind of the new coin or phrase that's used for cardiac rehab, I haven't really seen current studies, but I can tell you that it's been reported that even those individuals who get that opportunity to go through cardiac rehab, 1 year out, they're probably about less than 30% are still following the information and the guidelines that they need to be doing on their own. As opposed to, you know, just the general or usual care, no additional exercise or whatnot is absolutely less than 15%. So we're working on it.
You know, I when they told me that, you know, they wanted me to do these exercises prior to getting my knees done, I figured there had to be a reason for them to want me to do these exercises. Otherwise,
right,
they wouldn't have told me about them, you know. And yes, it was to strengthen the muscles around the knee and, you know, and the thigh and, you know, all that. And I don't understand why people don't do it. If you've had a heart attack or, you know, whatever, and you are not ready to give it all up and say goodbye to the world, and they tell you, well, you know, you should do this, this, or this, and don't eat that, that, and that, why don't you do it? You know,
yeah,
you're not talking about a hangnail, you know?
Right.
I mean, seriously,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I don't know, you know, I mean, when people don't do it, it just amazes me. You know, I know somebody that had knee replacement and was in agony. And, for months afterwards, but never did the exercises prior, mm-hmm, or never did the exercises after. And, you know, aside from the fact that I lost almost 90 pounds, you know, before I had the knee. Well, they said, you know, you got to do this. And, you know, so I probably should have had the surgery done 15 years prior. But, but I don't understand. Once you make up your mind or once your body tells you you have to because of the attacks that you had or whatever, that you don't do what you should to get healthy again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand that.
I'm not sure that any of us have the ultimate answer, but this I can share with you. You know, we know statistically that heart disease is the number one killer by far of all other diseases, including cancer. But when an individual is diagnosed with cancer, it seems to get their attention and more willingness to make the necessary changes that need to occur to increase their opportunity for survival. When an individual is told they have heart disease, you know, it's kind of like, I got over it, or I had my surgery, or, you know, I had a little heart attack and I'm really okay. And yet heart disease is progressive. And unless you make choices in your lifestyle that would actually have an impact on preventing that progression, heart disease will remain the number one killer.
Yep. and it's, you know, it just amazes me, you know, because it is, and it's studies have been proven that it is, and, you know, shows that it, you know, and if you have a heart attack, and if it's not that quote unquote severe, why wouldn't you want to work on, you know, not having another, you know, which may be severe, you know.
Right, right.
I don't know. It just boggles my mind. But anyway, I'm not going to be the one that anybody's going to listen to anyway. So, you know. How long does the program last? If somebody comes into the program, how long is it?
So typically an individual comes in 2 to 3 times a week for up to 12 to 18 weeks, kind of depending on where they are in that that spectrum.
Okay.
And it's really based on how well an individual is progressing and how well the heart or the lung is recovering. But that's typically the length of the program for traditional cardiac rehab.
Mm-hmm. And it could be longer if it's more severe or?
Well, I have got to be honest. The insurance companies, they oversee ultimately, you know, what's covered and what's not and who's eligible and what the benefits are for. And most of the insurance companies follow Medicare guidelines. And so Medicare has a guideline of, in terms of the traditional cardiac rehab, of up to 36 sessions, typically delivered over 12 to 18 weeks. So those are the parameters that we start with. It also helps to work together with the patient to make sure that we're on track with the plan that we've set out and to identify any other additional needs, we would have to have the communication with the insurance company.
Right. You recently started the Dean Ornish program?
Yeah.
For, what is it, reversing heart disease?
Yes.
Okay. Now you can explain what the program is and how you come about doing that.
So you've been hearing me use the term traditional cardiac rehab.
Right.
And the Dean Ornish's Reversal of Heart Disease program is what is defined as intensive cardiac rehab. And this program was improved in 2013 by the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid, which is Medicare.
Uh-huh.
And it was approved based on almost 4 decades of research by Dr. Ornish that demonstrated that lifestyle changes can have a significant impact on controlling, if not reversing, heart disease. He based these decisions were based originally on his very first lifestyle trial way back in 1978. And then he continued to, you know, collect the data and the research and really formulate a program that is known to be effective. And so what is this program? Well, this program takes traditional cardiac rehab and magnifies it. It is really a 4-pronged approach of equally weighted modalities that include exercise training, learning to eat properly and how to eat, a plant-based, low-fat diet. The third modality is stress management, learning how to identify our stressors and how to incorporate all kinds of different stress management strategies from breathing retraining, meditation, and yoga, as well, you know, just reframing how we view our stress. And then the fourth equally important modality, often minimized, is that group support. Learning to identify feelings and how to express them to the individuals that we care most about, as well as being able to express our own feelings, has a huge impact. So these four components occur in a 9-week program where the individual is scheduled to come in twice per week. Right now it's Tuesdays and Thursdays for 4 hours. Each modality is an hour in length.
Okay.
So there is a total of 18 sessions in total that the individual is receiving.
Now, is that mainly for cardio?
Okay.
Or is that for lungs and...
Right now, it is strictly for individuals who have had a cardiac event. The individuals who are eligible are similar to traditional cardiac rehab with a few differences. So if you've had a heart attack, if you've had bypass surgery, if you've had angioplasty with or without a stent, a valve repair or replacement, known chronic and stable angina, and heart transplant, you are eligible to participate in the Dean Ornish program.
Okay.
The one arena that is not covered under Medicare, although a few of the private insurances have, is heart failure. And I forgot to mention that when we talked about traditional cardiac rehab. Heart failure diagnosis is a huge and important diagnosis for referral into a cardiac rehab program. Unfortunately, the Ornish program for Medicare, it's not reimbursed.
Is it reimbursed by Medicare on a regular program?
It is.
On a regular program.
It is. And a very important component or option for those individuals.
You had mentioned heart transplant. In our county, there doesn't seem, maybe I'm off base, but there doesn't seem to have been a large number of heart transplant recipients.
Well, gosh, that's a great question. I don't even know that I could tell you the actual number that.
Well,
that
no,
occurred.
I just, you know.
But it is a very small percentage.
Right.
But it also fascinates me because, you know, that's a huge investment in a person who receives that transplant. And, you know, trying to preserve the longevity of that new heart is pretty important. And one of the things that is one of the complications that can occur as a result of some of the medications that they're taking is the acceleration of atherosclerosis or heart disease. So I'm kind of intrigued.
Okay.
You know, Ornish programming has probably a key or pivotal role in delaying that.
Right, right.
Haven't seen it yet, though.
That's interesting. You know, it is okay.
Yeah,
You get this, and boy, that's great. You got a new heart. Now you can have heart problems. You know, it's just really. But we have to take a quick break. We're listening to the Hunterdon Chamber Hospital's Hunterdon Chamber Radio Show, Hospital Show. And I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we have with us Lisa Marie Buckley, who is the Hunterdon Cardiopulmonary Rehabilitation. I can get it. yeah, great. And we'll be back shortly. Hang in there.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, the host, and Lisa Marie Buckley, who is the Hunterdon Cardiopulmonary Rehabilitation person, instructor, or what a title goes after that. I think that's the first time I said it correctly in the show, but that's okay. They won't give me too many black marks. We had mentioned a Dean Ornish program for reversing heart disease. Does the program really reverse heart disease?
Well, that's the question of the day. I know that in the patients or the participants, they ask the same question based on what I'm about to share with you. And that is that, yes, we do know. I mentioned Dr. Ornish has over 4 decades of research, and it started with that first study back in 1978. And at that time, as part of the study, he was able to do pre and post angiography or catheterizations and quantify, did they see actual changes in either the diameter of the blood vessels that were blocked or narrowed, and did they see an improvement in the blood flow or perfusion to areas of the heart that previously were not going to were not getting good oxygenated blood flow. And they found that in that study and also moving forward that 99% of those individuals either didn't show any worsening or actually showed regression. And in some of the key areas, like they showed, 82% of those individuals had an improvement in the diameter of the blood vessel. The blood vessel is opened up. We can presume that we're going to have a better blood flow to the area. 82% of individuals who had known angina, like they came in through the door and they talked about how it was crippling to experience angina just simply walking from the bedroom to the kitchen, 82% of them showed a decrease or an improvement in their angina, their angina symptoms. So we know that the intervention, shall I say, the treatment, the program does absolutely work. Now, moving forward to the individuals, because we're actually into our third cohort or individuals who are participating in the program, and they've asked the same question. How do I know? Because we're certainly not going to do a pre and a post catheterization. So we're going to go on the faith of the strong studies and the evidence that's preceded the development of this program, as well as some of their other data or information that's out there. Do we see a change in their weight? Do we see a change in their blood pressure, in their heart rate? Do they have fewer signs and symptoms? Do they not report angina like they did when they first walked in the door? Can they walk farther, longer, you know, with less effort? Mm-hmm. You know, those parameters are going to feed into, you know, the results that have been reported by the Dean Ornish program.
Now, who makes these decisions? Do you make these decisions when somebody comes?
As to who's eligible?
Yes.
Well, you know what? It's a mutual decision, shall I say. When an individual, let's say they call and they say, you know, I'm really interested in this program. Tell me more about it. You know, as we're going through and talking about the program, we're going to be screening too. What's your diagnosis? How long ago did it happen? Who's your physician? Are they, you know, are they aware you want to do this? Tell me about your lifestyle. Can you see yourself participating in a 9-week program, 4 hours a day, twice a week? Can you see yourself making changes in your diet? Can you see yourself following this plant-based, low-fat diet and doing stress management strategies every day? So it kind of like almost self-filters out.
Right.
You know, that first there's the interest, then the knowledge behind it. Okay, well, that's what the program is. Then there's usually a, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I can do that. And right when an individual is at that point, it probably to me is the most powerful time for us to really say to them, look, there are no guarantees, but if you are open to the possibility, you think you'd like to try it, that's your first huge step forward. You're going to surprise yourself, as we have been surprised experiencing the journey of the individuals who have been through the other cohorts. Many individuals came into the program saying, I'm not sure about this, or, you know, let me see how it goes. But, you know, as you learn and experience it, they were successful.
Right. Right. It's just, I just find it amazing, you know, because like we were talking before, how far we've come, you know, 5 years ago. Yeah, it was 5 years ago. They told me I had prostate cancer. And they gave me my x-rays and everything that they took and yada, yada. And I went to Hunterdon Cancer Center. And I saw one of the top doctors there. Mm-hmm. And he's looking at it, and he says, you don't want the operation. He says, you'd be much better off. He says, it's so early that they caught it. He says, you'd be much better off if I send you to Princeton, to this doctor who's now part of the medical center. But he says he inserts radioactive, I don't know, tablets or whatever you want to call them. And he says, you know, you don't have the operation per se as we do. He says, and it's much better, you know, because you don't need the operation. It's too early, you know. And that's what I had done. And it was, like, amazing, you know. And, you know, 5 years later, they're still, you know, it's still fine. So I'm happy about that, you know. But I just think that it's wonderful that a doctor – could say, no, I think you should go there because, you know, rather than, oh, yeah, we can take out, you know, and do the operation. And, you know, he says, you really don't want to go through chemo and all that, he says, and then have the operation and all, you know. And you're right, I don't if I can help it, but I will if that's the only, sure. You know, the only option I have, you know. But, you know, it's just, I find it very, encouraging, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, that a doctor would say, all right, go to another county and go to this doctor. In fact, as I was sitting in his office, he called a doctor up and made an appointment for me, you know, which I thought was, you know, really awesome, actually. And, you know, and the same thing with this. You know, if you got this Dean Ornish program and, you know, you're screening people for it and, you know, not everybody is a candidate, I would assume. But there are probably a number of people who would be candidates for it.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, it's just, I think it's great, you know, personally.
I think, well, I'm in agreement, although a bit biased, I would say. But
well, yeah, but I'm not, so. Yeah.
But I, I'm very proud to be able to say that Hunterdon offers a variety of options for individuals with, you know, heart disease as well as pulmonary. But, it, you know, really, the hospital and the Board of Trustees, they took this as one of their strategic initiatives a year ago, recognizing that the importance of having such a completely different option. You know, when you think about it, you know, we all are pretty familiar with how we can treat heart disease through mm-hmm. either medications or procedures or, you know, managing a balance of the two. But this program is really the one of the only, if in fact the only evidence-based program that addresses heart disease through going to the root of the you know, the root cause of this,
right.
You know,
right.
attacking the lifestyle changes. And that's a very different approach.
Sure.
And it really is a wonderful option for individuals who don't want to or even have had procedures but want to prevent any further complications. So I am very proud that Hunterdon offers this program.
That's awesome. You know, I know you probably said it, and you know, but that was 15 minutes ago, and I don't remember it. But part of the four-point program, if you will, was one of them exercise?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Exercise training.
What in this program, is this exercise program different than, say, cardio, rehab, exercise?
Or the traditional?
Yeah, right.
The traditional?
The quote-unquote normal one?
The normal one. You know, no, it's not. As a matter of fact, it's, you know, I mentioned that each section or modality mm-hmm. that's comes with the Ornish program each day is an hour in length. And just like it is in traditional, that exercise training is in an hour. We're still looking to accomplish the same things. First of all, expose individuals to options of how to exercise. So we're going to introduce a lot of the different methods, you know, whether it's walking, treadmill, stationary cycle, rowing, elliptical, all the things that individuals might be or have at their fingertips, shall I say. But we also want to teach how to do that that exercise training so that you can continue doing it on your own. And, of course, we're monitoring the individuals, whether in traditional or the Ornish program, because you're hooked up to a monitor that allows right. us to see the activity of the heart on a telemetry screen.
Right. When you set up a program for exercising, do you, like, say, all right, I don't know, how many times do you say twice a week?
For the Ornish or the traditional, 2 to 3 times a week.
All right, 2 to 3 times a week. And that's after they're finished and they're out on their own. This should do it 2 to 3 times a week also.
Well, by then, our goal is that, you know, you've fallen in love with exercise now. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But, you know, in reality, that you recognize that you want to be exercising most days of the week because we tend to be pretty sedentary. And so the goal is to establish a routine that you're comfortable with that's most days a week for anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes.
Okay. Now, I go to the gym.
That's awesome.
I try to go 3 to 4 days a week. I had a trainer, and told her my health conditions and knees, I can't do elliptical and stuff like that. So she worked out programs for me. But what she said was, say Monday you come. Monday you ride the stationary bike for X amount of time, for as long as you can do it. Then you start doing these six exercises or machines or whatever. If you come in on Tuesday, don't do those six machines. Do these six, because you don't want to do the same machine every day over and over. She said, if you come back Wednesday, then you can go back to the first one. Then when you come back Thursday, you can do that. She says, if you don't come Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, she says, then you can do the same one because it doesn't matter. You had a day off in between. So I was just wondering if that is similar to what you guys do.
So I'm always pleased when I hear that the appropriate and safe exercise principles are being followed from place to place to place. So I'm smiling because that's awesome. That's exactly what we teach or instruct our patients and participants, and be aware of that when they go out on their own, whether or not and where they're going, particularly if it's to a gym, that they're getting the same guidance. So generally, when you're talking about cardiovascular or aerobic conditioning, mm-hmm. you know, most days of the week, you know, 5-6 days a week, 30 to 60 minutes. Strength training, equally important part of your overall fitness program. But we don't want you to be doing strength training every day of the right. week. Generally, 2 to 3 days a week with a day of rest in between to give those muscles an opportunity to heal and recovery. Stretching should be a part of that. Daily exercise routine. Every time you go in, no matter what you're going to do, you should always be starting with a warm-up, basically gradually either using the equipment like a stationary cycle or walking around laps gently for the first 5 to 10 minutes to really improve the blood flow to the heart and the working muscles. And then you're going to go through your exercise routine. You should most definitely be doing a cool down. So what you start with is what you right. want to finish with. That's your most vulnerable time for something to happen. And so you want to avoid that by, again, gently slowing down, allowing your heart rate and blood pressure to cool down. And that's the perfect time to do stretching because your muscles are really warm and willing to bend in mm-hmm. positions that they might not, you know, otherwise want to do.
Yeah.
So it's perfect, Larry.
Yeah. I try to do like 4 miles on the bike when I start, and then I do my exercises. Then I come back and do another, try to do 2, sometimes 3 miles on the bike again. But, you know, I do at least 2.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
I wind up with like 6 miles and, you know, my goal is to get up to 10.
Okay. But,
it's going to take a while.
No hills.
You know, it's going to take a while. You know, but hey, that's the way it is. You know, you have to have a goal. So
yes,
my goal is 10 miles, you know.
Yeah.
So 5 and 5 or 6 and 4 or whatever. But
great.
The curriculum of this program. Now, you said it's 4 hours twice a week.
Correct.
Is it always 1, 2, 3, 4, like?
There is a routine.
Okay.
And a lot of it has to do with the balance because, as I mentioned, we do exercise, we do stress management for an hour, we do a group support for an hour, and then we also have we share a meal that is an Ornish-based recipe, as well as education. So, and that's pretty big then because that's the time to kind of experience, well, what is this diet? You know, how am I going to follow it? What does it taste like? What are my options? Those kinds of things are explored during that hour when you're eating the meal, which, by the way, can include your significant other because if they are the ones preparing, you know, shopping and preparing your meal, they really should be there to experience and be able to ask the questions as well. But you don't want to have, for example, the meal first and then follow immediately with the exercise.
Right.
So there is a standardized routine that we follow that balances, you know, where we want to fit each one of those modalities in during that 4 hours.
All right, I'll have to ask. When do you eat?
Well, so right now, you know, even though we are trying to really remain flexible with as individuals are enrolling, for example, our next cohort is going to be starting in April, mid-April.
Okay.
And it's targeted to be a late afternoon program starting between 3 to 7 o'clock. So the meal is the either going to be the last one of the day, or it's actually going to follow right after exercise. We're kind of
debating
is the great word. Yeah. When we have offered the program in the morning, we typically, which is actually what's happening right now, the current cohort, they are a morning crew, and they start at 8:45 in the morning with their exercise, and they finish with lunch. So that's their cherry on their day, so
right,
to speak.
Right.
So it all depends when they're actually doing the program.
Have you done a 3 to 7 before?
We have.
And see, I would find, you know, if someone is working, I would think that would be very difficult to attend.
I love that you asked this question for a variety of reasons, because absolutely. But you have to also recognize that when someone has had something happen to them, cardiac-wise, you know, there is a recovery period where they are have not returned to work. And so somewhere in that window, the individual is cleared or stable and ready to start cardiac rehab. Now, our experience has been that in the traditional, you remember that when they come in and when they start, they're coming in 2 to 3 times a week for 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And our last session of the day for traditional is at 4:30. And that obstacle, you know, hasn't really been there because the individuals have recognized how important this is in their recovery. So they've made arrangements, including, you know, those 3 days a week, they might leave work early until they finish the program. So I like to offer the consideration that one of the advantages to the late afternoon or evening program is it's only 9 weeks. So, you know, if we can work with your employer and support and encouraging them 2 days a week, not 3 days a week, for 9 weeks, and that's actually what we've observed for some individuals, and then for others, you know, they were able to make other arrangements based on that 9 weeks.
Yeah, I was just curious, you know, because some of them have gone back to work already whatever, you know, and so what is the criteria to join the program? I mean, either one of them. I mean,
well, the diagnoses we've kind of run through, they are your heart attack. If you've had a heart attack, you've had bypass surgery, valve replacement or repair, angioplasty with or without stent, a chronic stable history of angina or angina, and heart transplant, and one that I failed to mention before was a diagnosis of heart failure. Those are the initial criteria or eligibility criteria that gets them you through the door.
Now, does their doctor recommend?
Yes,
or do they say, oh, gee, I need this, and I'll go, and how does that work?
Actually, both ways. If you're, we've had several individuals who called up after hearing about the programming and said, you know, I really want to get, I think this program is for me, I want to get into the program. Then we approach the physician to make sure that they approve and clear the individual, because it is a physician-ordered program.
Okay. Yeah.
Or the physician is the first one to initiate. Says, hey, I think this is something you really, really ought to consider. This is the second or third time you've had a stent placed in your heart, and we really need to try and do something a little different here.
Right.
So in the end, it's always a physician-ordered program.
What is your average class? What is it? 5 people, 10 people?
So we're anywhere from 8 to 12 per cohort or group that we start. We've been averaging between 8 and 10 individuals in each class.
Okay. Is there more than one group going on at any time, or is it just one group from 8:45 to 12:45 or whatever it is, and they're already at?
Right now, there's one group at a time.
Okay.
And we the focus is if we've offered a morning program, for example, the one that started in the group that started in 2016, it started with the morning program. So the next group, we are focusing and offering it as a late afternoon program. But if the majority of the individuals who have been referred and are eligible express the need for morning, we will make changes to offer that.
Okay.
Our long-term goal, or shorter-term goal, I should say, is that we create a group of teams that allows us to not have that delay in starting one from one group to another and almost monthly be able to offer a new program.
How many, what did you call the people that lead it?
I know cohort or the team, which one are we, the groups that are participating in the program?
No, the person who leads the program.
Oh.
How many of those do you have?
So I'm so excited about the fact that we have this team because I don't know really of any other rehab program that offers such a comprehensive care with this certified team of individuals.
Okay.
That start from the medical director to the program director, which happens to be me, the nurse case manager, a dietitian, a stress management specialist who is well-trained and versed in yoga and meditation strategies, and either a licensed social worker or psychologist that is trained to lead group support exercises, and a clinical exercise physiologist. And our team, there were actually 10 of us that originally was sent out to San Francisco, California, to Healthways Corporations, which oversees the development and implementation.
Okay.
From program to program, you know, that consistency.
Right.
And we had to go out for a week and really experience what the participants would experience and learn how to teach and coach individuals through making these changes, as well as agreeing to a 90-day continuation of those changes. And we were lucky enough to bring the Huntington Medical Center's chef out as well. So
oh, cool.
He, yeah. So I'm very proud of a very strong team that we have in delivering the Ornish program.
In the last minute, if someone wanted to learn more about either program, I'm not going to say cardiopulmonary rehab again, but I just did for the Ornish program. What should they do?
So you can either call the department directly at 908-788-6371 to inquire about either the traditional or the Dean Ornish's program for reversing heart disease. Or you can also go online, go to the website, and type in www.ornish.com. And you will find more information as well as testimonials and research regarding, you know, the impact of
right.
Participating in the intensive cardiac rehab.
And that's Ornish, O-R-N-I-S-H.
Correct.
Well, we really appreciate it, Lisa Marie, that you come on. And I am thrilled that, you know, the work you're doing is awesome.
Thank you.
And just continue it because, you know, more and more people have heart problems. And if they have something like this to go to after they have a problem and rebuild their heart, it's awesome. So thank you again. And we'll be back again next week. So enjoy your week and stay healthy, folks.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
4 teens are recovering after another student opened fire at a high school in Ohio today. The Butler County Sheriff's Office in Cincinnati says the shooting happened at the Madison Junior Senior High School cafeteria. 2 of the injured students were shot, while it's believed the other victims may have been hit by shrapnel. None of the injuries are considered to be life-threatening. The suspected shooter was taken into custody. Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump is feeling pretty confident ahead.